It's about spring break time. We just ended the legislative session today on Thursday, March 16th. So it's always a good time to look back at a big picture of where we've been and where I think we're going. So far in session, I've got to say for the average Missourian, it has not been a pretty picture. So some of the bills that have made their way through the Senate include Senate Bill 19. This was the first bill, I believe, that we sent to the governor's desk, the so-called Right to Work Bill, which is really an open attack on the men and women of organized labor. Senate Bill 43 makes it harder for victims of discrimination to seek justice and rolls back the clock on worker protections, especially for women and people of color. So I see that as a problematic bill that is moving through the process. Senate Bill 45, which makes it easier to take away an employee's right to his or her day in court, in other words, forcing certain employees into arbitration. Oftentimes, the arbitration companies are the ones that are continuously used by the corporation. Senate Bill 66, which makes it harder for workers injured on the job to receive fair compensation. Senate Bill 182, another attack on working families by undermining PLAs. And House Bill 153, which makes it more difficult and more expensive to have your day in court because you have to use an expert witness whose testimony the judge approves in advance. So it can be a fight between the big corporation and the little guy, whoever has the most money and can produce the most expert witnesses and prove to the judge that they're worthy, tends to have the big advantage in those cases. And this week, Senate Bill 251, which many call paycheck deception, again, another special interest bill that takes aim at working families by trying to undermine unions by forcing people who pay membership dues to have to opt in on an annual basis to pay those instead of saying, like we do in so many other areas of our lives, just make that a sustaining membership and take out my dues and my payments until I tell you to stop. So there's no reason that people can't stop payments to labor unions at any time, but this bill forces them to go to the additional trouble of opting in. And it's now a 24-page bill. It was a short bill to begin with. It's now 24 pages and creates so much paperwork, both for all of the labor unions and their employees, as well as for the Department of Labor to oversee. So at the end of the day, I don't know how much that bill in its current form would cost both the state of Missouri and, again, designed to undercut and undermine working families through undercutting and undermining their unions. So when it comes to categories of employees like teachers, mental health care workers, first responders, they seem to be the targets in this part of the legislative session. And, you know, let's be clear about this. Continued attacks on labor unions are not going to create a single job. Going after our teachers won't make our schools stronger. And stepping on state workers' constitutional rights won't lift them up from being among the lowest paid state workers in the country. Now, I'm going to pause there because something good did happen just this week. So I applaud Governor Eric Greitens for putting into place an executive order which provides employees working under the executive branch of government, provides them with up to 6 weeks of family and medical leave that would be paid. So if one of the 40,000 state employees under his purview need to take off time for two reasons, the birth of a baby or the adoption of a child, they are able to take up to 6 weeks' time for that. And the cost that has been estimated at $1.1 million, Governor Greitens says will be absorbed within the executive branch's budget. So in some ways, that makes me wonder why there was an extra $1.1 million sitting in that budget, but we'll see how all that plays out. Now, this doesn't cover all state employees by any stretch of the imagination, but recently this week, MoDOT, the Missouri Department of Transportation, announced that it too would provide its employees paid family and medical leave for up to 6 weeks for the same reasons. What I'm excited about, in addition to some of our state employees getting this paid benefit, is the idea that now the conversation is out there. And as I've talked about before on this podcast, I have in place a Paid Family Medical Leave Act bill that is an earned paid Family Medical Leave Act bill. And employees all over the state, including our public sector employees, would be able to access that by paying into a pool where the funds are kept for when the employee needs to access them. So an employee in the state of Missouri who is making $50,000 a year under my legislation would pay $125 into a fund per year. This fund would be collected for 1 year with none of it going out. And then in the second year, people would be able to access it for reasons that include giving birth to a baby, adopting or providing foster care for a child, when a family member is deployed for active duty, allowing other family members to take some time off to step in and pick up the slack or take care of things that have to be done around around the home, when a person is dealing with his or her own serious health issues or the health issues of a parent or a child, when someone is a victim of domestic violence or abuse, they would be able to take some time off work in order to be able to deal with what they needed to do to go to court or to see an attorney or whatever else needed to happen, even going to the hospital in that particular example. So this is the bill that I think will not break the bank, certainly in the state, because it doesn't rely on state funding. It relies on employee funding. And I'm delighted that the governor has started the conversation by providing a small amount of our state employees access to family and medical leave so that they can afford to take time off work and to spend the time that we all want to have when our families need us without giving up their salaries. So thank you, Governor Greitens, for getting that started and for starting the conversation. But I look at the long list of bills that are tort reform, anti the small guy getting his day in court, anti-labor unions, so anti-working families, and I ask myself, is this legislature doing more harm than good for the people of Missouri? So I'm going to answer it in this way. If you're a special interest, if you're a corrupt or unkind employer, if you're powerful and well-connected, this has been a pretty good session for you. But if you're a hardworking Missouri family, you've been pushed back, you've been knocked down, you've been left behind this session, and I find that disappointing. After all, those are the people that we are supposed to be responding to. Those are the very constituents who have sent us here to serve on their behalf. This week in Senator Riddle's committee, I was proud to be able to present another suicide prevention and awareness bill. It's really about training. And what we found out in the bill that we passed last year as I was dealing with people around the issue of suicide prevention and awareness is that people who work in the mental health fields in our state are not required to take any training around suicide prevention and awareness. None. So we have a piece of legislation that says as people go for their licenses, whether they're psychologists, behavioral therapists, marriage and family therapists, there's a group of about six different categories, that these people are required to take 2 hours, and that's 2 clock hours of training that introduces them to not only recognizing the signs and symptoms, but be able to help them figure out what to do with that particular client and how to help that client. So it's a very basic start. It doesn't mandate that they can only take two, but it says that they must take two for their license or renewal of their license. We think it's a common sense piece of legislation. And when Senator Riddle, the chairman of the committee, heard that these different categories of mental health providers are not required to do this, she was as shocked as I am, and she agreed to allow this bill to be voted out consent in her committee, which means it will move to the floor at a little bit faster pace if it doesn't get knocked off the consent calendar. It will move at a little bit faster pace, and it will be allowed to go through without amendment should it be allowed to get to the Senate floor. So I'm grateful to Senator Riddle, and I'm grateful to Provident and to those people who brought forward this information to me. Making sure our mental health care providers are equipped with these tools is particularly important, and particularly in a state that is number 17 in the nation for rates of suicide. I am hopeful that the second half of this legislative session is better for working families than the first half. That certainly remains to be seen, and I look forward to working hard with my colleagues across the aisle to pass some legislation that will help people like you and me, the working people of the state of Missouri who want a better life for ourselves and our families. Thank you very much.